We're going to take some time for some testimonies from you. If you have something that you would like to share briefly and share about how God has been faithful and good to you over this last year, it's been a while since we've had an opportunity to have you share some things and share how God has been faithful. And so Myron and Michael will come around and bring you a microphone so that you can say what God has laid on your heart and how he has been faithful to you. So we'll have some now. And then we'll take the offering, and then we'll have some after that. So if you would like to share a little bit about how God has been faithful to you over this last year, we'd love to hear of his faithfulness to you. You're not required to have a testimony. But otherwise, it'll be awkward silence. No. John.
This year has been really busy for us, and we thank the church for all the prayers while Joan has been recovering and continuing to recover. Well, anyway, we praise God for all the blessings that he's shown to us through this time, and just continue to pray that she'll continue to recover. Shoulder injuries are just the worst, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, John. Somebody else with a word of testimony.
As you know, I'm a farmer. So this year we got really blessed with lots and lots of rain, and we didn't really want all that rain. It helped us, whether we liked it or not. I wound up with extra water in my fields. But this year, now my renters are tiling it out, so we get rid of it. But the harvest was abundant, just overflowing. And they had got their crops in so late that it wasn't even knee-high by the 4th of July. But it was 12 feet high when it got harvested. That's amazing. God has blessed me and the farm just to be all, and bless my renters too. I hope they are very well pleased, and I've been treated quite well with the Lord too, because my eyes are improving. I've there for a while. I have one eye that's nearsighted, one eye farsighted, and so sometimes my eyes get tired and I almost see double vision. And now I can look over the top of my glasses, and over the top, I have triple lenses, you know, and looking through the top of my glasses and over the top is the same.
Good.
So I'm being blessed left and right. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Fern. Anybody else? Eileen.
I just want to thank everybody, all of you young people especially, that have helped us get in and out of the church and do things. Sometimes Carl's a little wobbly, as most of you know, and just to have you helping him in and out, I find that such a blessing to see somebody coming out to help bring him in. Good days are fine, but on those bad days when his balance is not real good, it's just a blessing to know, and to know that you guys are all praying for us on a regular basis. Some of you know, some of you don't. Just recently, 2:30 in the morning, he woke me up and said, take me to the hospital. And we had to deal with another incident. But praise the Lord, we got through it. And prayers and the blessings of so many of you are just beyond the words that we can say. We just thank you, both of us do, for all that you do for us.
Good. Thank you, Eileen. Lois?
Where?
Right there.
Oh. I didn't see the hand of it, so
I'm taking for lack of sight.
I just want to thank all of you for the prayers that you have brought us through this year with my hip and with losing our son. We just are so grateful for this church that you have stood by us and you have prayed with us and you have sent us cards. And just your love and concern is so appreciated by us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Somebody else. Donna, back there, Myron.
Okay. I just want to, can you hear me? Okay. I just want to thank the church. We've had a strange year. I lost a brother, and a week later, I lost a sister. We've lost many friends, but through it all, God is sufficient. So we just want to thank you for that.
Good. Anybody else? Bill.
Well, I'd just like to thank the Lord for Whitneyville Bible Church. The time that we've been here has been not that long, but when we first came here, the love that everybody showed for us, and our prayer and care group, and the people that we've met since we've been here, and due to our maturity and age, we don't do a lot of activities with you young people, but we do love each and every one of you and thank the Lord for you. Thank you.
Thank you for being mature, Bill. Somebody else for the word of testimony you'd like to share. Jill.
I just want to also thank everybody here, but I also want to thank God Almighty, our Creator, and the precious Lord Jesus for hospitals and health care we have. We've had numerous people here and family, and because of the excellent care and the excellent prayer, God is so good all the time, and I just love you all here. I'm new, but yeah, it's so much fun getting to know you guys, so thank you. Thank you too, Pastor.
It's exciting for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too would like to thank the whole church, how welcome you make me feel, and the relationships that I have built and continue to build. Just so real, not how you doing, don't ask me no more questions. People really care here, and I'll just thank this church and the people in it. So that's it.
Thank you, Mark. Somebody else for the word of testimony you'd like to share? Karima.
I haven't gone through any, thank God, medical issues, as a lot of people have here. We haven't had any issues with our cars or with our houses or anything like that, and I'm thankful for that alone. Life is far from perfect, as a lot of you know. My husband hasn't been at church in quite a long time now, but I thank God for me not having killed him yet. I think that's a good thing. We have healthy kids who are fighting constantly, and I love that, and I'm grateful for everything.
Good. Thank you, Karima. Continue to pray for Ben and their family. Somebody else, word of testimony that you'd like to share? Dar.
Not sure I can do this, but just want to thank everyone for all the cards, the visits, the prayers for the last year and a half. Could have never made those 25 trips last winter to Ann Arbor in the dark and in the storms without all the prayers and caring of this church. And then the funeral, thank you for everyone that participated in the funeral luncheon. I have had so many people comment on what a wonderful church this was for the funeral, the service, the luncheon. It's absolutely amazing. And the thankfulness continues to grow. There are so many changes in relationships through his death. There are so many stories that you can just see God's hand at work. A group of 18 that were in Rome and were getting my text through his death, what it did to them on their trip while they were in the Holy Land. It's just God's blessings and being thankful just continues since his death.
Thank you, Dar. Maybe one more before we take our offering and have the offertory. Then we'll have another chance after that. Jen.
I'm thankful that we serve a God who is faithful, who is active in our lives, who's revealed himself to us, that we can be in relationship with him. It's an amazing gift to know God, the greatest gift of all, and I'm very thankful for him.
Good. Thank you, Jen. Continue to be in prayer for her as she hopes to maybe deliver their baby this week. Be in prayer for Mike and Jen. Somebody else with a word of testimony that you'd like to share? Did we have one before, Dwayne?
I have had some interesting opportunities, and this week I was able to share with our staff at our regular staff meeting one of the verses that David read here in the call to worship, verse 5 in particular. It says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever." I'm thankful that God's goodness and his love is not contingent upon me. David obviously wrote this many, many, many years ago. And that exact phraseology appears at least 12 times in the scripture and 6 times in the Psalms. And I'm just so thankful that God is forever. There was no beginning, no end, and we have many things to give thanks for. And just a rabbit trail here, I guess. If you Google or do a word search in the scriptures for the word thanks and start making a list of all the different things that people have given thanks for over the years, you'll be astounded. That was one of the exercises we did in our staff meeting. And we came up with at least 16 different things, including coworkers, including the ability to work, including the treasures that we have, including the love that we can share. And the list goes on and on, and all those things emanate from God, and he gives us strength for every one of them. For that, I give thanks today.
Good. Thank you, Dwayne. Somebody else with a word of testimony you'd like to share? Amy. Oh, you want the kids now? Well, what if I'm not thankful for that? All right, children, you may be dismissed. And Amy actually has.
Other Amy. Is this
on? Yeah, kids, you are free to go to Bible Blast and to practice.
So I'm thankful this year because of our Kenya trip, first of all, to all of you that supported our trip. And because, you know, for our family of four, it was pretty expensive to go. But so that, first of all, for all the support that you guys raised for our whole team and that the kids got to go, that four kids got to go. But specifically that for me, I didn't sleep on the trip at all, and God just totally sustained me the whole time. And then I got cholera, and God still sustained me through that. You know, it was rough. Our team was ill a lot, but God just kept on bringing us through things. And then now Michael, like this last couple of weeks, he talked to the girls, and he was, you know, kind of wanting to follow up with them about the trip, and he was asking them, what did you guys learn from the trip? And what they both said independently, because they weren't together at the time, they both said independently that they realized the injustices of the world and how it's not fair how much we have and that other people don't have. And that to us is a blessing, because our kids have been given a lot. They, you know, we, not only because they're Americans, but, you know, I mean, they've been blessed. We've been blessed with a lot from the Lord. And for them to have realized that, we're very, very grateful, because we want them to know that this everything, every good and perfect gift is from above. So.
Good. Thank you, Amy.
Hey, Dave. Can I follow up on that?
Sure.
I figure I'll just piggyback on that, because that was on my heart and my mind as well when I was thinking about this year. I'll step up so people could see me. What I was thankful as we just started recapping the year. We had three whole families plus some individuals kind of come together to serve our Kenyan brothers and sisters in Christ, bringing supplies, actually having a material effect on our compound. I'm thankful for the ability that we are impacting our children to think about others instead of themselves, to think about sharing the gospel of Christ not only here but far. And it's really an opportunity for us to build character, godly character in our children. And I'm thankful for the upcoming trip. But this trip was really impactful because I was able to share. I took off a large period of time at work, and I was able to share with non-believers and believers alike, hey, this is what God's doing in Kenya. In a very secular world where not everybody is a friend of Christ. And to work with that and share that with a coworker who isn't a believer, who has been moved by that, and how God is using that the sacrifice of the church, the sacrifice of families to go, it was really amazing. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a body of believers, a family. You know, Amy and I moved from Indianapolis in May of 2015. We have nobody up here, no family. To have a church family up here that we actually can call family is impactful. To be in a body of believers where you know you can call and you have people that you can talk to live life with, is amazing and is something to be very thankful for as well. And then I thought Romans 8:28 and 8:29 gives me a little teary-eyed because I know that it says, for God calls us all things to work for good for those who are called. I'm blowing it, but that's okay. But you know the verse. And then it talks about in 8:29 how he's called us to become more like the image of Christ. And I was thinking of the darkness of this year, seeing Gerald and his testimony. I tell you, that was encouraging. To see a man go through what he did, praising God, really counting the blessings of God, to be a light of Christ, when in the darkest days, that was a blessing. And while I wish he'd never had to go through that, I'm thankful that God sustained him, that God sustained the family, and he had an impact through that. So thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Somebody else, Dave, and then Tanya. Dave Bender and then Tanya.
I'm really thankful for the people, the volunteers that step up and do so much here at the church. I mean, as a deacon, we see so many things, and as a mission team, there's so many things we need people to do, and so many people are willing to step up and give their time, and it's just an awesome thing. So, thank you.
Good. Thanks, Dave. And Tanya, right here. Cameron, right behind Tristan.
My name is Tanya. We've only been here a couple months, and I get emotional because my kids, this is like family to them already, and I have to thank the Lord for everything that he's provided in the last year, but especially in the last couple months in this home that we call church now. So as you all know, you can sit at home, you can stream, you can watch podcasts, you can watch televangelists, and there's nothing like coming to a place where people welcome you and face-to-face and you're visible. And showing my children that is very, very valuable. And I thank the crazy people like Dave and Rachel that go to all-nighters with this youth group, which my kids will never forget. So I thank you all for that. So thanks for making us feel welcome.
Thanks, Tanya. Judy. Back in the back. We're going to need Cameron to work out.
I'm going to get my steps in for the day.
That's right.
Now, this year has been an up and down year, as most of you have known with my family. But I am so grateful for not only this church, but God's faithfulness in everything. And I mean everything. I ended last year in an earthquake, as you know, up in Alaska. And we kicked off the new year with a four-year-old grandson being bit in the face by a dog. And as bad as that sound, I was so grateful to the Lord for the medical staff up in Anchorage that we didn't even know existed. God was there in charge. And he could have lost an eye. He didn't. God took care of that. And as you know, I've been back and forth to Alaska more times than I ever thought I would in my life, and will continue to. I had the pleasure of being there when my preemie grandson was born in July. And I thought, Lord, you're just so good to us. He came home from the hospital on a feeding tube. And I think you gave his mother the courage and wisdom to deal with it. And he's grown and he's wonderful. And yet you gave me a reprieve up there. I say reprieve kind of funnily because my reprieve was 6:30 in the morning with a four-year-old playing. But it was rest time before I came home to spend the last few weeks with my mother. And it encouraged me again through everything. And I learned more and more about his faithfulness through this whole process. I don't know what's ahead, good, bad, or ugly. He's there through everything. And thank you to Darlene, who answered my phone calls over and over again for prayer, because I couldn't have done it without this church.
Thank you, Judy. Somebody else, word of testimony. Bill?
Hi, I'm Bill. On December 26, 2017, I lost my wife. And I was a sinner seeking redemption. And God has brought me to this church and this family. And I thank him so very much for giving me such joy that you people have accepted me in this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We're glad to have you. Somebody else, word of testimony you'd like to share? Ken.
Well, I'm very thankful for the way the Lord has worked in our family, especially my son. He was in a motorcycle accident in October, and he was up in Sheridan in the woods, and he made a jump, and it didn't go right, and he ended up with a removing his spleen, water on his lungs, and about 8 broken ribs, and so on. He was in intensive care for a week, and he got out of there, and they sent him over to Mary Freebed. You couldn't ask for any people any better than over there. They treated him royally. He come home, and a week later, he's driving his truck again. So he really healed him there. So now a week ago, he had a knee replacement because he was, I'm off, I might as well get it done. So he did. So now he's running around up, it was a week ago Friday. So now he's running, he gave away his walker and he's walking, and I just praise the Lord how he's treated Bob, my son. And I know it's been a lot of running around for Nancy and I had hauling him to the doctor and all that. And when one of your own get hurt, it hurts you too. And I just praise the Lord that he come through all of it in fine shape. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Ken. Somebody else, word of testimony you'd like to share? Cameron?
I'll go ahead and share. I'll move up front, though, so not everyone's craning their neck. Most of you see me up here, I guess. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to everyone, so I don't know who knows our story, really. But the journey out here from where we were in California really started to come probably in earnest started January of 2017 or 2018. And from that point on, up until now, I could not have prepared myself for what was coming. From that point, I began praying, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know exactly what we're supposed to do, but no matter what happens, I want to be found in the center of your will. That was my prayer over and over again. And I could not have anticipated how he was going to show me what that meant. We found out in April, well, we found out in January of this year that we were pregnant, and then we found out in April about Anastasia's medical condition. And it became very apparent, at this point we were still in San Diego area, it became very apparent that it was not going to be a normal birth, that she would have very high likelihood of needing heart surgery right after she was born. We found out that she is missing one kidney. That was all before we made the decision to move. And so there were a lot of things that went into this decision. It was not a decision made lightly. All of that alone was a learning experience. And I am so grateful for the way that God has answered my prayer. I didn't expect it. And I would never wish what we've gone through on anyone as a way to learn what it means to follow God and seek his will and to find his will. But we can certainly testify that in the moving, in finding this church, being a part of it, we went to other churches before we found this church, and landing here with this group of people, as you've already all heard, and many of you can testify, is a very loving church. We've experienced it. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the ways that God has challenged us to grow, not just with our daughter, but with like the moving, totaling our car, like all the different things. We are so grateful for where we are right now and how he's teaching us and how faithful he is in all of this. And again, he answered my prayer to help keep me centered in his will. I wouldn't have known how or known why he was going to do it the way he did, but it gives me faith to continue trusting. So I'll stop talking now.
Thank you, Cameron. Fern.
Excuse me. I my exuberance in my speech, I said that the corn was 12 feet tall. Well, that's not true. It seemed like 12 feet tall to me because I'm getting shorter as I get older. But it was close to 7 at least feet tall. It was far greater than we could possibly imagine planted that late. And another thankfulness I'd like to thank Fuller is my great-great-grandson. He's 18 months old now. He's not walking yet. He has need of balance. He needs his balance. He has to cart, but he is walking with that cart. But he's the happiest little kid you ever saw in your life. And I can't wait for him to come back over here and let you see him, because he is a joy.
Good. Thank you, Fern. Anybody else? Any final words of testimony? Chad?
Called me out. It's on. Okay. So there's a lot of things I have to be thankful for, but the biggest one was to be having God open my eyes to the mission field. For a guy who didn't know how missions even worked, what it took to become a missionary, or any of that, the steps that I had to go through to learn, the people that were there to support me and guide me, I couldn't ask for a better team. They were there mentoring me, helping me along my way, and I'm grateful for that. God really blessed me this year to allow me to go to Kenya and to see the things that I got to see and speak to those that I got to speak to, and look forward to many more trips over. That is the biggest blessing I've ever had and the one that deeply touched me the most.
Thank you, Chad. Is there somebody else? Ben.
I'm just thankful that it's by grace through faith in Christ that we are all saved. And Jesus Christ did all the work. As far as Awana goes, I'm just so thankful to my Lord and Savior first and foremost. But as we think about the Apostle Paul and how he thanked each one of the churches for their faith and how they displayed their faith, I thank you. I thank the Lord for this church because you've been faithful in praying for each one of us at Awana. There's so many people involved with Awana. I don't have a lot of time to thank everyone, but every person plays a so important part with Awana. And I'm just thankful that we can come every Wednesday, that God has given us the opportunity to share his gospel with the children that go to this church and the children that live in the surrounding communities of this church. And it's not always easy. I mean, we've had people leave the Awana program, but even going into Awana this year and many of the years that I've been involved, things have not always been settled at the beginning of Awana, but the Lord has faithfully brought new people consistently, year after year, into Awana. And I knew, because of my faith, that he was going to do it. I've seen him do it before, and he did it again this year. So I'm so thankful for those people that have been involved over the years with Awana. So thankful for the new people that have come in this year and filled those voids that we had. And it's just, again, it's neat to see the Lord's hand in everything and how he puts people in places to serve him. So I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you. May God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, Ben. Anybody else? All right. Well, I didn't know how long our testimonies would go. Sometimes you offer an opportunity and it's short, and sometimes it goes a little bit longer, which is great. And so I tried to make sure that we had something that we could adjust accordingly. We also have our end of the year video that we play each year just to recap how God has worked and what he has done here. But I wanted to just speak for a minute or two on Psalm 100. I don't know if I've ever been able to just speak for a minute, but Psalm 100. The two major ideas, and Dave alluded to this earlier in the call to worship, and many of you, actually the driving theme throughout the testimonies this morning has been God's faithfulness. And Psalm 100 is a psalm that is obviously very impactful. It's very familiar. I remember as a kid, one of our traditions that we did every year was my mom would, we'd always have a lot of people over for dinner, family, and sometimes extended friends and family, and every person's place where they were sitting, my mom would take a 3x5 card and she would write out a psalm, some verse, and we'd all have to go around and read our psalm, and much like what was done this morning with the worship team. And I remember that was very impactful to me as a kid, even though I was eager to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner, one of my favorite days of the year, simply because, you know, I got green bean casserole and turkey and all the fun things. But it was impactful to me as a child to just be reminded of how consistent throughout the book of Psalms is this reference to worshiping God, giving thanks to God, his faithfulness to us, his goodness to us. And Psalm 100 is certainly among those psalms that we would think about. And the psalmist says in verse 1, there's really two major components to Psalm 100. The first one is the greatness of God. Verse 1, he says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." This is the first section of this passage, and it's the greatness of God. And Julia, you'll have a fun time trying to figure out where this is all going to go with the PowerPoint. So it's the, and I think you actually have some of the notes in your bulletin, but it's the greatness of God that we see. We see his greatness. We see what he has done, and what that impacts is our relationship with him and his relationship with us. And the psalmist is taking us through this idea of making a joyful noise, of serving the Lord, and coming into his presence with singing. And why do we do that? Why are we engaged in that process? It's because of verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. Well, what is it that the psalmist wants us to know about God? There's a lot of things we could know about God, but what does the psalmist want us to know about God here? Verse 3, it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. So the psalmist is reminding us of the greatness of God. God owns us. God has redeemed us. God shepherds us. All of the testimonies this morning, in some form, fashion, or another, had to deal with this, especially verse 3, or number 3, that he shepherds us. He cares for us. He doesn't just leave us out in the middle of a pasture somewhere and say, well, I hope you all figure it out. I created you and I gave you life, but now you're kind of on your own and you just do your own thing. So the psalmist reminds us in verse 3 about the heart of this greatness of God. He owns us, he redeems us, and he shepherds us. And that's what drives us back to verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. The idea there is we are to shout to him. David alluded to it. The actual connotation of verse 1 is shouting with noise. Now, some of you don't like noise when it comes to music or worship or things like that, but the idea that the psalmist is communicating to us is this should be the full exuberance of all that we have, giving shouts of praise to God, because here's who we were and here's who we are. And even if we remove the material blessing out of the equation, even if we remove the equation out from our lives of how much God has abundantly blessed us physically, we should still be able to sing shouts of praise and thanks. Michael, Amy, Chad all alluded to the trip this year to Kenya. Those of you that have been, I think many of you have been, I think some 16 or 17 of us have been now to Kenya. One of the things that constantly hits me upside the head is when I stand in a place of abject poverty with nothing, and yet the people are singing at the top of their lungs about how good and great God is. There's nothing that is more humbling to me than to stand in a place that has literally nothing, not sure where our next meal is going to come from, not sure how we're going to provide for our families this week. Not sure what's going to transpire this week. And now we come into our worship service. And I constantly think if this were in America, our worship service would be really sedated and subdued because we would be panicking. But what do these people do? They find every possible thing to make noise with. Whether that's a drum that's just basically a piece of plastic over top something else that's broken and a stick. Whether that's a 5-gallon bucket that they happen to find, which is a great treasure to them. Whether that's whatever it is, those stupid little noisemaker plastic things that they blow at soccer games. Whatever it is, we want to just give the loudest praise we can because of a great God that we have. And the psalmist reminds us that we are to praise him. We are to serve him with gladness, with joy, with excitement. What a privilege it is for us to serve this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we come into his presence with worship. Why? Because he is a great God. He made us. We are his. He redeemed us. And he shepherds us. And he cares for us. In verse 4, he reminds us, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and we bless his name, much of what we've done today because of who he is. But there's a sense in which, if we're not careful, we could end it with verse 3 and we could simply say, well, God is great. And yes, he owns us and yes, he shepherds us and yes, he redeems us. But wow, this is a great God, like almost the Wizard of Oz concept, you know, when they're coming in, and the lion freaks out and runs out and jumps out the window because he's so scared of this being up on the screen. We can easily look at God like that, like he is a great God. And yes, we thank him for the fact that he made us. And yes, we thank him for the fact that he owns us and he's redeemed us and he shepherds us. But the psalmist brings us quickly back down to earth in verse 5 and says, but he is also a good God. He's not just some great deity that is out there that we live in fear of. Yes, there is a holy reverence that must exist for who he is. We don't ever want to lose that. But the psalmist brings us back to two thoughts here in verse 5. For the Lord is good. Why is he good? His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness endures to all generations. He's not just some big deity in the sky that doesn't know what you're going through. Every one of you that shared testimony today talked about intimate details in your life. Hey, this situation happened. This is going on. This occurred. This took place. And yet God knew that. And God cared enough about that. And God was able to meet those needs. And God was able to sustain you through some difficult times because God is not just a great God, but God is a good God. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness endures to all generations. We have an amazing God. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who cares for us. We have a God who knows the intimate details of our lives. When we wonder if anybody else knows or anybody else cares or anybody else is aware of what's happened in our life, we should be able to say, you know what? They may not know, other people may not know, but God knows and God cares and God sustains and God is here to be with us. And so we turn to him and we allow ourselves to rejoice in the fact that not only is a God great, that he owns us and he redeems us and he shepherds us, but God is good and he welcomes us into his presence. That's why the psalmist reminds us of this in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. It's much like what the author of Hebrews says when he says, let us come boldly, therefore, before the throne of grace. So yes, our God is great, but our God is also good. And that is never seen in a human being. That's never seen in a human ruler or a human entity that has that power. A person like that that is only great keeps everyone else at bay because they are in control, they are in power, they have the authority. And yet here is the God of the universe who says, not only am I a great God, I have sovereign power and ability, but I'm a good God. I love you, I care for you, and my faithfulness will endure to all generations. We have a great opportunity to serve, to worship, to praise our great God and our good God. And that final phrase that he says there, his faithfulness to all generations. We alluded to this last week when we looked at Jude 24 and 25, especially verse 25, that it is God's faithfulness that gives us the confidence that no matter how long this earth continues, no matter if you die, if you pass away and you've got children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, well, what's going to happen to them? God's faithfulness is still going to endure to all generations. So up until the end, until the final moments are taken here on this earth, the psalmist reminds us God is going to be faithful. In 30 years or 40 years or 50 years from now, when our children are sitting in chairs or sitting in church and giving opportunity to praise God, they will be able to continue to say our God has been faithful to us. Just like we are able to say this morning how good our God is because he is faithful to us. We serve a great God and we serve a good God. So as we've been reminded this morning through our testimony time, through our opportunity to sing, to share together, to read scripture, to be able to look at passages as we take time each year to just say, let's just reflect on what God has done. God is so faithful to us. He is so good to us. He is so wonderful to us. Be in prayer for Alex Danagelis. We sent you an email last night. He is in the rehab center. And then also just got word, Rachel Bowman took Zach to the ER this morning. He has been diagnosed with a pneumonia. And so just be in prayer for the Bowmans through this time. They've had a rough year this year, and so they could use some encouragement. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer and then send you on your way. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word and your goodness to us, your greatness to us. We thank you for your love and your graciousness. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to reflect upon just exactly how good and faithful you are. We thank you for all that you've done for each one of us. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. You are dismissed.